We want to turn to the book of Genesis, that portion of God's Word that we read together. The book of Genesis and the chapter 35. And with God's Word open before us, let's pray. Let's pray that God has a word to our hearts this morning and God will speak to you from His Word. Our loving eternal Father in heaven, we bow, Lord, humbly before Thee. We look to Thee now by faith. Lord, we look to Thee for help, for grace, to be able to speak Thy Word, and for Thy Word to be applied to all the hearts of all of Your dear people. We want to hear Thy voice today. We want You, Lord, to speak unto us. And Lord, I pray this will be the case. Close us, Lord, in with Thyself. Give us grace and help around Thy Word. May Thou receive all the honor and all the glory. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen. In Genesis 35 and the verse 3, you'll find the words of Jacob in our text. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. I want us over the next few weeks together as a congregation to think about these two words that's found many times in the Bible. Let us. The very first mention of these two words is found in Genesis 1 verse 26 where God is speaking and He says, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, of course, is showing us there the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they're coming together to make man. Let us make man in our image. Now, in using this term, let us, in relation to God's people, it shows the great unity there's among God's people all over the world. And I say to you today, let us. It embraces every child of God in this meeting. As I use this term, let us, it embraces every child of God who's saved in the world. There is to be a great unity in the hearts and lives of God's people. God's people, God's redeemed people, are one people. You think of this when you come to God's Word. We have the same promises. In 1 John 2, verse 25, here is what the Apostle John said. And this is the promise that he has promised us. Eternal life. And John writing here in his epistle to God's people, he's showing them the great promise of God. God has promised us eternal life. And I can come to this congregation this morning and to God's people, I can say, well, God has promised us eternal life. I can stand in some other land in this world. And I can speak to God's people. And when I say God's people, I'm referring to those who know Christ. To those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. I can say God has promised us. We have the same promises. God has promised us. Isn't that wonderful? I have the promise of God. He has promised every child of His here in this meeting to give us everlasting life. And I rejoice this morning that I'm standing on the promise of God. He has promised to give us eternal life. We have the same pardon and salvation. Think, for instance, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. I want you to think of that little word, us. And he's writing here to Timothy, and he said, well, here is what God has done for us. He has saved us. He has called us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, Christ died for us. And this is all of God's people, all over the world, who's redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has saved us. He's called us. And Christ has died for us. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, we have the same position with God. God treats us all the same. Every one of His children is the same in God's sight. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Paul is writing to these believers at Ephesus who were once held in idolatry. And he says, well, here is something God has done for us. He's raised us up. And he's made us sit together. We're all there. Oh, child of God, think where you are this morning. Think what God has done for you. He has saved you. He has forgiven you. He has promised you eternal life. He has lifted you from the gutter. Now, where are you? We're sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. And we have the same spiritual blessings. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see, I have got blessings in Christ, spiritual blessings. Listen, child of God, so have you. So have you. He has blessed all of us. He has not missed one of his children. Everyone he has called, everyone he has saved, everyone he has promised, everyone he has lifted from the gutter, everyone he has placed in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, he has given us all of these spiritual blessings. And we're all going home to heaven. That's all you can see. The Bible speaks about us. About us. God's people, saved by grace. Now, the first "let us" that I want to look at today from our book is found in the words of Jacob. Jacob, he had been away a long time from home. Now he's returning. Now he comes to this family and to his people. And he says to them here in the verse 3, let us arise and go up to Bethel. And so he comes to all of his people and he says, listen, let us go to Bethel. So I want all God's people today, all of us together who saved, I want us to say, well, let's go to Bethel. That's what I want us to do this morning in this meeting. I want us to all arise, spiritually speaking, and to go up to Bethel. And I want to say three very simple things. I want to say, first of all, about the reason for going up to Bethel. Now, the reason for Jacob wanting to go to Bethel is set out very clearly here in this passage. God commanded him to go up to Bethel. Now, if you look at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 35, in Genesis 35, and the verse 1, notice the wording. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. And God comes to this man, and God is speaking personally to the heart of Jacob. And he says unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel. And so why is it that Jacob's going up to Bethel? For God told him. God comes to him. God comes personally and powerfully and plainly to the heart of this man. And God says to him, arise and get you up to Bethel. God commanded him. Now you can notice in that verse 1, God commanded his steps. Here he's guiding him. The voice of the Lord of glory, he's guiding Jacob. Of course, the Bible tells us if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on to our own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Listen, God would guide his people. And God comes to this man who'd been away a long, long time for many years and he says to him, arise and get up to Bethel. God commanded his steps. God commanded his stay. You see that in the word dwell. And dwell there. The word dwell means abide and remain. He was told to go up and to spend time, as we'll see when he gets to Bethel. This was not just that he was going to pass through Bethel. No, God comes to this man and to his people and he says, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there. There was something God wanted this man to do in Bethel. So God commanded his steps. God commanded his stay. He said, I want you just to go up to Bethel. Not to rush past it. Not to bypass Bethel. Not to go just through it, but I want you to go and to stay there, dwell there for a short period of time. And God also commanded here his sacrifice. You can see that in verse 1. And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when I fled from the face of Esau thy brother. And God has sent him, arise and go up to Bethel and make an altar. Make an altar there. Get the sacrifice there, Jacob. Get the blood to be shed. Get up to Bethel and build an altar. What's God sent him? Get up to Bethel, back to Bethel, and back to the blood. Now, he certainly needed to get back to this place. We didn't take time to read the previous chapters, but there was trouble. There was sin in his family. Simeon and Levi had risen up against the men of Shechem. His daughter, Dinah, had been defiled. He was in trouble with the Canaanites. He says himself in verse 30, in chapter 34, that he says, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land. There was darkness, there was trouble all around him and in his family. And God comes to this man and he says, listen, get you back to Bethel. Build an altar there. Make a sacrifice. Now, God tells him this is where you first were. You have to turn back to Genesis chapter 28. You'll find when he was first here at Bethel. This was a time that they reckoned that he found the Lord in Genesis chapter 28. He was in danger. Esau was risen up to take away his life. He had to flee from home. And he found himself in Genesis chapter 28 in the darkness of the night. But you see, in the darkness of the night, it was there when God appeared to him. That's usually always the way. When there's trouble and darkness, God appears to his people. And he had a dream. He saw the ladder. You can read about it in Genesis 28. Top of this ladder was the Lord, and the Lord had a word for him and spoke to him. And it tells us in chapter 28 and the verse 20, here's what happened. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. You can see in verse 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel. There were things happened here before with this man. He was saved. God spoke unto him. He made a vow unto God. He says, Lord, if you look after me, if you keep me, here's what I'm going to do. He made a vow to God. But he never kept the vow. He never kept the vow. But God had remembered his words. And God says to this man, listen, arise and go up to Bethel. And make a sacrifice there. You see, how to get back to the beginning. He had to get back to where he began with God. He had to get back to the blood, in a sense. You see also about his speech, because I said there he made a vow. And God says to this man, get back to me. Now, if we read the word of God, it reminds us of Jeremiah 3, verse 12. Nobody says, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thy backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And here's a call from the prophet Jeremiah to the nation of Israel. He's saying, God is saying, return, return unto me. That's what God was saying to Bethel, to Jacob. Jacob, arise and get up to Bethel. Do you remember the time I appeared to you? Do you remember the time there I saved you? Do you remember the time there you made your vows to me? Well, arise and get back to Bethel. And I say to all God's people this morning, do we all not spiritually speaking need to get up to Bethel, the house of God? Do we not need to get back to the Lord, back to the blood, back to the cross of Jesus Christ? You know, we sing that great hymn, and it is a tremendous hymn. Jesus, keep me near the cross. But if we're honest this morning, Do we not find ourselves running away from the cross? Do we not feel ourselves like the sheep in Isaiah? All we like sheep have gone astray. Do we not feel coldness at times within our heart, you see? I say to you today, child of God, we need to get back to our first love. We need to get back to our vows. Maybe you've made promises unto the Lord. And he says, Lord, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. But you never kept your vow. You never kept your word unto God. And here's God saying, well, arise and get back to Bethel. God wants us to keep close to him. Maybe some of God's people here today, you say, well, I've wandered far away from God. I haven't the same love in my heart for Christ I had when I first got converted. You can remember that first love you had when you got saved. You came to Christ and he forgave you and he washed you from all sins. Oh, happy day that was. As life goes on, we can lose the love. We can lose the passion. Maybe, child of God, there was a time you couldn't keep you out of meetings. You loved going to hear the gospel preached. Now it's a burden to come perhaps to God's house. Listen, we need to arise and go back to Bethel. This is this man of God coming to his people, coming to his family. And he says to him, let us arise and go up to Bethel. I have had a word from God. God has spoken to my heart. He has commanded me. He has commanded all of us to arise and go to Bethel. Now, if you don't need to go to Bethel, I do. I do. And I would like to think all of us spiritually speaking this morning would say, I need to get back to Bethel. I need to get back. And so the reason here for going up to Bethel is very plainly, God told them. And you know, child of God, God wants us to be close to him. He wants us to follow him closely, not like Peter. It says in God's word that Peter followed afar off. And maybe there's a child of God here in this meeting this morning, and you're following God afar off. You need to arise and go back to Bethel. God wants us close to him. And so we find here, first of all, the reason for going to Bethel. And then exactly can I say about the requirements for going to Bethel. It required certain things to be done to go to Bethel. And you find, first of all, here, there was their separation. See, in verse 3, he says, let us arise and go up to Bethel. And so for the people here to get to Bethel, there had to be this rising up. There had to be this separating from all other people and from the place of Shechem. There had to be a forsaking of all things to get up to Bethel. You can think of all the things was there. Some people reckon he could have been here in Shechem for 10 years. A lot of things were gathered up. And he just comes in and says, listen, we have to get up to Bethel. But we have to leave this place. God has spoken to my heart. We have to separate, you see. And so to get to Bethel, there had to be this forsaken. It's rising up. There had to be this separation to get up here. In Psalm 1, verse 1, we sang Psalm 1 this morning. A great psalm to sing. But it reminds us, Psalm 1, of our separation in this world. We're in the world, child of God, but we're not off the world. In Psalm 1 and verse 1 we read, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, and if this verse 1 of Psalm 1 shows us that we're different. We're separated from the ungodly, from the wicked. We're different in our words and interactions. There are places we cannot go. There are things we cannot do because we're God's people. We have to separate from things. We have to separate from people. If I'm really going to go on to God, there has to be this rising. and they're separating. And I say to you, child of God, this morning, maybe you have been going to places where you should not be going. Maybe you've been doing things you should not have been doing. Maybe you've surrounded yourself. Maybe you have young Christians here today. You went to a university or college and different things like this. And you've surrounded yourself with people who's the wrong people. I say to you today, we need to separate. We need to rise up. There has to be the separation in our hearts and in our life. If I want to go on with God, there's things in life will hold me back. There are people in life who will hold me back. We have to separate. If we're going to go up to Bethel, he says, let us arise and go up to Bethel. And you can see that in this particular passage. Anybody who was going to go to Bethel to meet with God, he had to arise up and say, I'm going to Bethel. Child of God, this morning, is this in your heart? I want to go. I want to meet with God. I want to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things I have to separate from. I see them, Lord. You've brought them before my mind. They've been brought into before my heart. Lord, I want to rise up. I want to rise up from them. It had to be a separation. But also you can see in this passage there was a purification also of people. What he says in verse 2, then Jacob said unto, listen, his household and to all that were with him, pull away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Now notice here this purification. Before they rise up to go to Bethel, he says, purify yourself. He tells them, and notice, to cast away their false gods. You can see that in verse 2. In verse 4, and they give on to Jacob, listen, all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. These were superstitious earrings. They reckon to do with idols. But you can see what happened here. He says, we are going up to Bethel and we're going to meet with God, but cast away all your false gods. Bring them all to me, you see. There were things that crept in to his family. And Jacob had done nothing about it. Notice what it says. And Jacob said unto his household. Imagine this man of God who had the promises of God. There were things in his household that should have not have been in his household. He had seen them. He had known all about them. But he did nothing about it. I just turned it around. That's my son. Whatever the case may be. He had done nothing about it. He knew it was wrong. He knew. Now he knows. Now he's standing up. Now he's the father of the family. Now he's taking a stand and he says, hold on a minute here. There are gods in my household and I want them out of it. I want them out. Bring them to me. So they all brought these images to him. And you know, it tells us there in verse 4, and they give unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. Now, when you look into Hebrew and the different words here, he dug a hole. He got them all. He got all of these false gods. And he cast them into a hole and he buried them. That's the end of them. And notice also there in verse 4, everybody complied with his command. Nobody yearned and argued. Nobody said, well, hold on a minute. This is going to do no harm. Everybody listened. And I say to young people here this morning, listen to your parents. Listen to them. Because they know better than you. They know better. Someday you'll find that out. Listen to what your parents say. If they say, listen, well, you don't do this, then don't do it. Or, well, you don't go there, don't go. You obey them. There'll day come when you'll be a parent. And then you'll be able to show us how to do it. It's not right. But nobody argued with Jacob here. Nobody argued. They all brought their gods. There he is. He buried them. There were things that needed to be buried. There were strange gods. There were seen gods. In other words, their earrings. There were secret gods, perhaps. But notice this, they were all surrendered gods. They cast away all their false gods. And he buried them. He buried them. Oh, I tell you, child of God, other things. Well, I want you to look into your life today. I have enough to see in my own heart. Are the things that's crept in to your life shouldn't be there? Are the magazines and books you read, you shouldn't be reading? Are the programs on the television you shouldn't be watching? Are the things that you need to give up to go to Bethel? Because these people going to Bethel, spiritually speaking, they had to give up these gods. And there's things we have to forsake. And we sing that great hymn, "The dear's idol I have known, where'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." And there are things perhaps we have to cast aside. And not only cast aside, we need to bury them to move on with God. Is there something in your life today that's holding you back? Then you need to do what Jacob did. Take a hole and bury it. Spiritually speaking, or physically speaking. If we want to go on with God, these things need to be done. And so there was this casting away from their gods. And then there was their cleansing, because the word clean had to do with washing. They had to be pure. They had to be cleansed. Some changes had to be made in their life. All sin and filth had to be taken away from this people, from Jacob and his family. A really a time of spring cleaning here was taking place in their lives. He says to be clean. We're going to meet with God. Could you imagine being there? Could you imagine being there this particular day when Jacob comes and says, "Listen, we're going up to Bethel, we're going to meet with God. Cast away your gods and wash and be clean." That will touch our hearts. And if you and I are going to meet with God, we need to be clean. And the Bible tells it, of course, in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfectly holiness in the fear of God." I want you to think of the words the Apostle Paul says here in 2 Timothy 1. He says, "Let us cleanse ourselves." I can't cleanse you. You can't cleanse me. I have enough problems. Enough to look after my own heart and my own life. Let us cleanse ourselves. In Lamentation 3, verse 40, he says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." That's a great word. That's what the prophet was crying out in the book of Lamentations. Let us search. Well, let us try our ways and turn again to the Lord. I want you to do this morning. I want all of us to go to Bethel. To go back to Bethel. I want you to search your ways. I want you to turn to the Lord. All of us. In this meeting, there was a cleansing here, of course. And there was their clothing. They were to clothe themselves. Change their garments in verse 2. From head to toe, they were clothed. They were clean. The Bible tells us, of course, that the child of God in Ephesians chapter 4. It tells us over there, we'll read it, in the book of Ephesians in the chapter 4. "And put off concerning the former conversation, the old man," Ephesians 4 verse 22, "which what is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And so what were these people to do? They were to put off the old man, which was corrupt. And spiritually speaking, they were to dress themselves with a new man. It was holiness and righteousness. We need to prepare our hearts, ourselves, to go to meet with God. This is what he's saying unto this people. Cleanse yourself. Cast away your false gods. Clothe yourself. We're going up to Bethel. We're going to meet with God. And so there had to be this purification. And I said to all of us again this morning, are there things in your life that need to be set right? Are there things in your family that need to be set right? We've got to set them right. We've got to get our hearts right to go to meet with God. To rise up and go to Bethel. Was this purification? There was a separation. There was also their determination. Because you notice here he says, let us go up to Bethel. They reckon this was a climb from where they were of about 1,000 feet. Well, maybe that's not too bad. Well, 1,000 feet's high enough. They were going to higher ground. They were going higher ground. And so to get to Bethel, there had to be determination to make the climb. There was nobody complained. There was nobody says, well, I just couldn't go up that hill. It's too steep. It's too difficult. It's too hard. No. You see, he says here, let us arise and go up to Bethel. And there had to be effort. There had to be determination in the hearts here of this people to go up to Bethel. Have you noticed in verse 6 that they all did come to Bethel? So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. And notice, he and all the people that were with him. I think these are great words. He and all the people that were with him. They all went. They all made the climb. They all had this determination in their hearts. We are going up to Bethel. We're going to meet with God. And if you're going, I'm going. And there was determination in their hearts to get close with God. We sing that hymn sometimes. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Is that your desire, child of God, today in this meeting? To get onto higher ground. Can you say honestly, I'm pressing on the upward way this morning. New heights I'm gaining every day. To get to this place, there has to be determination in our hearts to get there. To rise up, to separate, to cleanse ourselves, has to be determination in my heart and your heart to get to this place. Sometimes we sing that hymn, Lord, lift me up and let me stand off by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's what I want today for my life, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, is this your desire today? To get to Bethel. Then there's things you have to do. We have to cleanse ourselves. We have to separate ourselves. There has to be this determination in our hearts to rise up. To get right with God. And to get close with the Lord. And so there was this requirements. And God has never changed. Spiritually speaking, we are rising up today to go to Bethel. And if you want, spiritually speaking, to go to Bethel, then you must do the things that I've brought out in this passage. You must do the things that Jacob instructed his people to do, to rise up, to get to Bethel, and to get close with God. And we find, can I say thirdly here in this passage, the restoration that took place at Bethel. You can see there in verse 7, and he built there an altar. And he called the place El Bethel because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Oh, do you see what took place? You see him standing there, this man of God at Bethel, and all his household and people are around him. We find here the construction. He built an altar. He getting all the stones together, placing them one after the other. He gets a sacrifice. The blood is being shed. There he's standing with all his family around the altar, around the shed blood. What a picture that is. You see, Jacob's back to Bethel. And the altar is set up again. And I want you to think of this. The altar is now in the center of his life again. He is back in the right place. The altar now is in the center of his home again. All his household are gathered around his altar. Not one is missing. What a glorious sight this was to see him standing there with all his household around the altar. You see, he's back. And there was the construction of the altar. Remember Joshua said in Joshua 24 verse 15, "Choose you this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites which, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house," he said, "we will serve the Lord." The great words. Joshua, he's nailing his colours to the mast. He says, "You choose what gods you're going to follow. But I tell you what God I will follow. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you can read in Genesis chapter 13, verse 3, Abraham. And you'll find of Abraham's journey. It says in verse 4, "Unto the place of the altar which he made there at the first." And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He went to Bethel, even to Bethel here. But listen, he built his altar. He built his altar. And the altar was at the center of his life. Now you and I know this, symbolically speaking, is a great picture of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who loved this child of God this morning, who died upon the cross, who shed his blood, who has redeemed us back to God. We need to get Christ in the center of our hearts and lives and in our homes again. We need to get back to the blood. Back to our first love. Back to the first seal we had for God when we were first converted. And here's how you do it. You need to build your altar again. Maybe the altar of prayer has been broken down in your heart. Maybe the family altar has been broken down in your home. You don't gather the family all around it again the way you used to. You need to go home. Father, you need to build the altar. You need to set it back up again. And maybe your family. Read the Word of God and pray. There he is. He's back at Bethel. And he says, "We need to get the altar up again. And I need to do it." And child of God, you need to do it yourself today. This is him coming back. And there was, of course, a construction here. Notice the communion at Bethel. Because look at verse 9. A tremendous words. And when he built this altar, and God appeared unto Jacob again. Oh, what a wonderful time he had here at Bethel. What joy would have filled his heart. He had come up to Bethel. He had built the altar. But here's a wonderful thing that happened. God appeared to him. He met with God. He met with God again. As I have said, I reckon that it could have been up. He could have spent 10 years at Shechem. And now he's back again to Bethel. But more importantly, he's back to the Lord. And the Lord appeared. And God appeared unto Jacob again. He met with God. Oh, child of God. Do you want to meet with God in your life? Are you not tired of just the old way we have of going on, careless? Go through the motions. You read your Bible, you don't meet with God. You say, "I say my prayers, I feel I don't meet with God." I come to church. I listen to the preacher, whoever that may be. I don't really meet with God. I tell the child of God that that's a sad position to be in. We need to build the altar. We want to meet with God. We want to meet with God. And the Lord appeared unto him again. And how true the words are in James 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That's a promise for you, child of God. Go home and get right with God. Fall on our knees. Ask the Lord to cleanse us from our sins. God will draw nigh to you. The Lord appeared unto him again. Think of the confirmation that came to him here at Bethel. Because God spoke to him and spoke personally to his heart. And it says here in verse 9, God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I give Abraham and Isaac to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. He's back in the very place now, and I want you to think of this, where he could hear the voice of God, where he could hear the voice of the Lord. And God is speaking personally to him. He gave him a new name. You're not going to be called Jacob anymore. You're going to be called Israel. God tells him afresh of who he is himself. It's here in verse 11. I am God Almighty, the El Shaddai, the God who is enough. I am the Almighty God. God is speaking to him. Look to me, he says. See who I am. I am the Almighty God. God told him about the promises that he had made to Abraham and Isaac. And I'll give you the land. He gives all of these promises to him, you see. God is speaking to him at Bethel. And I want the Lord to speak to your hearts. I want again the promise of God to come afresh to you. But Christ says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God speaks to us from this book. And here we have the Lord confirming things onto this man here at Bethel. He was glad he went to Bethel. Because he met with God. He met with the Lord here at Bethel. And then there was a consecration to Bethel here in his restoration. Look at verse 14. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And you see this man, he's building this altar. It's made of stone. And he's pouring out his drink offering, and he's pouring out oil all upon this altar. Listen. All to Jesus, I surrender. When you pour out things, you're not be getting it back. He doesn't want it back. He's back with God. And he's pouring these things out to God. Child of God, we sing that great hymn, all to Jesus, I surrender. That's what you need to do. Present your bodies, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Don't hold nothing back from God. Don't hold nothing back from Christ. The Lord Jesus gave it all for us. And you and I get to Bethel. And I say unto this morning, let us arise and go here, and I hope we all have come together. I hope you can say in your heart today, child of God, all to Jesus I surrender. I give you everything. Give your life, young person, to Christ. Older person, give everything you have to Christ. I say, Lord, I give you all. I surrender all to Jesus. You find there about the calling also. At this place in verse 7, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, the God of Bethel, or the mighty God of the house of God. You see, he was back to Bethel, but here's more importantly. He was back to the God of Bethel. He was back to Bethel, but back to the Lord. And when I say to you today, let us arise and go up to Bethel. I want us all to be restored to the Lord. And to know His presence again in our life. And to know the joy of the Lord in our soul again. And I trust that will be the case. And we'll be able to say, El Bethel, the mighty God of the house of Bethel. So let's arise today. As God's people, as the Lord leads me, we'll look at some of these little studies together. Let us then today together, as God's people, let us arise and go to Bethel. Are you with me? If I look around, do I see anybody following me? Or do I look around and say, nobody came with me? I hope in your heart you say, yes, I'll go to Bethel. I want to meet with God. I want to know the fullness of the Spirit of God in my life. I want to live for Christ. We've only one life, and it'll soon be passed. It's only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Let's all go. You say, well, I'm maybe too young to go. I'm too old to go. No, let us all arise and go to Bethel, God's people. Maybe you're not saved this morning. We had to leave you behind. You're not right with God. Maybe a young person, older person is meeting. You're still in your sins and far away from God. I say, listen, get to Calvary. Get to Christ. Repent from your sin and believe the gospel. And trust Him as your Savior. And then we can bring you up with us to Bethel. To meet with God. I trust the Lord will write His word upon all of your hearts today. And He'll bless these truths to each and every one of us. Let's just close your meeting today with a word of prayer. And I want God's people to pray in your own heart that God would write His truth upon your heart today and lead you on with Himself. Our loving eternal Father in heaven, we thank You for being with us. We pray that You'll write Your truth upon hearts. And Lord, let us get to Bethel. Let us go up and meet with Thee. There may be things we have to sort out. There may be things in our life we have to cast aside. But let us lay down these things. Like Jacob, he buried them. And he moved on. There may be things in our life we need to bury. And then we can go to Bethel and meet with God. I pray, Lord, You'll bless our studies, our time together over the next few weeks. I pray You'll write Your word upon the hearts of all Your dear people. I pray for any who's not saved that You will save them. I pray now You'll watch over us as we go our separate ways. And we pray, Lord, You'll keep us safe until we meet again. And let the blessing of the triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide upon each and every one of us until we meet again in this fashion tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.